I sincerely believe that God has some people that He's assigned to be friends in your life that will help you, inspire you, encourage you, and at times challenge you. But often we unfriend those because they challenge us. They hold us accountable. We'll unfriend those we should friend, and we friend those we should unfriend. I want to challenge you to get that right today so that you'll begin to recognize those whom God has appointed for you.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero. With today's craze in social media, we've added new words to our dictionary. One is the word unfriend. Have you ever unfriended someone on Facebook or Instagram? Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us that the friends we choose will influence us for good or bad. Here he is with a message entitled, Friends and Unfriends.
We want to talk about today, friends and unfriends. There's a lot of new words in the dictionary, aren't there, since social media became the rage, like unfriends. We've never had that word before. Let me tell you a story about unfriending somebody. This old story, classic story of these three guys from Hawaii were fishing off Lanai, and their boat capsizes. Now they're in a raft floating off towards Guam somewhere. They're in the middle of the ocean, 4 days at sea. They're dehydrated. They're about ready to die when up comes this bottle bobbing next to their raft. One of the guys grabs it, figuring that maybe there's some water in there. And when it pops off the cork, whoosh, out comes a genie, a Christian genie at that, because this is church and we have to, you know, make sure. So this Christian genie comes out and she says, "Thank you for releasing me, and for that, I'm going to give you three wishes, and since there's three of you in the boat, you only get one each, but there's no refunds, no returns, so whatever you wish for, that's it." The first guy's a Japanese guy. He goes, "Oh, that's so good. I want to be back at home drinking a tea with my waifu and a family," and all of a sudden, poof, he's gone. The other two look at each other, and the genie says, "You're next." The Hawaiian guy says, "Oh man, I like go back Waikiki and drink pineapple juice with my ohana." All of a sudden, poof, he's gone. The genie turns to the third, a Portuguese guy, and she says, "Now it's your turn. What would you wish?" He starts crying. He said, "I miss my friends so much. I like them for come back." You want to unfriend that one as quickly as you can. Now, let me ask you, be truthful. How many of you have done one of these four things? Let me give all four of them to you and then be truthful now. Here it is. Have you ever unfriended someone? Or have you ever unfollowed someone? Or have you unsubscribed to someone? Or in a music software, have you put a thumbs down on an artist? How many of you have done one of the four above? Raise your hand. Shame on you. Shame. Shame on you. No, actually, you're the heroes of this message because I want to talk about friends and unfriends. Because see, sometimes we friend those we should unfriend and we unfriend those we should friend in life. The scripture is going to come out of the book of Proverbs and it'll come up on the board. So would you read it with me? Go. "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools suffer harm." Did you get the consequences? Try it again. "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools suffer." Here's the principle. The principle is this. Whatever the characteristics are of those that you hang around with, either good or bad, will eventually seep into you. The characteristics of those that you hang around with, either good or bad, will eventually seep into you. See, if you're spending time with those who are inspiring, encouraging, if you're spending time with those who challenge themselves to be better, to deepen their own faith with God, they're men and women of integrity, honesty and they think well, well, eventually the same characteristics you're going to find seeping into you, and you want to do the same. However, if you hang around with those who grumble, find fault with people all the time, gossip, whose lives are kind of mediocre, who flip from one thing to another all the time, they hold grudges, they're offended easily, and they have a terrible time forgiving people, then you, through absorption, will start to take on those qualities. If you hang around those who compromise, eventually you'll find yourself starting to what? Compromise. If you hang around people who degrade their spouses or deprioritize their families, then they're not for you. Someone once said it this way, you want to know what you're going to be like in 2 years, 4 years, 7 years? Look at your friends that you spend the most time with. We have a great prison ministry here at New Hope. We go to the federal pen and to Jalava, and then we even go to Arizona where there's an incarceration camp where many of the Hawaii inmates are housed. And sometimes I'll go with them. And you know what I found? I'll go in there and talk to some of the inmates, and it'll come to a part in our conversation where I'll look at them and say, you know, you are such a nice person. How did you end up in a place like this? More often than not, here's what they say. I think it's because I hung around with the... Usually 90% to 95% of the time, it's because of the wrong crowd they hooked up with. But they only found out too late. I sincerely believe that God has some people that He's assigned to be friends in your life that will help you, inspire you, encourage you, and at times challenge you, and it's their God divine appointed. But often we unfriend those because they challenge us. They hold us accountable. We'll unfriend those we should friend, and we friend those we should unfriend. I want to challenge you to get that right today so that you'll begin to recognize those whom God has appointed for you, so that you will reach your full purpose and never live beneath your potential. God has actually appointed people to help you. The case in point is Mark chapter 2. Jesus is teaching in a house and it's just packed with people. Four friends find their paralytic buddy and they try to get him to Jesus, but because of the crowd and it's packed, full house, standing room only, they think outside of the box. They bring this guy up on the roof, plow a hole in the roof, and this is the precursor to today's skylight. They open that baby up, let this guy down right in front of Jesus. There's a ray of light coming in, and here's what the Bible says. This is amazing. You know what it says? It says this, and Jesus, looking up and seeing their faith, said, you're going to be all right. Now, catch this. He didn't look at the paralytic's faith. He didn't look at the person there in front of him and said, you know, because you've got a lot of faith, you're going to do good. No. It says, looking up and seeing their faith, face, four Niele people looking through the skylight like this, thinking, what's wrong with this picture? And Jesus looked up and said, oh, man. And seeing their faith, he looked back down and said, you're going to be all right. Your sins are going to be taken care of, and you're going to come to a point of healing. You're going to have a good future, and everything that God's designed for you, you're not going to compromise. You know why? Look up there. You recognized good friends. You selected well. Check it out. And looking up and seeing their faith, Jesus said, you're going to be okay. See, if you think about it, I believe God has appointed certain people to be a part of your life. When things are going wrong, they come to you. I think you should start out with at least four people where you can write down their names and the qualities that you're looking for in a friend and go after them. Develop a relationship with them. And men, I would say to you, you need to have four friends. that when you're drifting off, and listen, when you can't make it to Jesus on your own, they will get you there. Because there's going to be times in your life you're discouraged, you're depressed, you're disparaged, and you can't get to Jesus on your own power. And you're going to need some friends that will carry you there if need be. Listen, man, they need to love you so much. These are the four friends you're going to need that if you're in another lady's house that you shouldn't be in, these four friends should drive up and bang on that door. You don't open it, they bust the door down and they grab you and pull you out by the hair. And if you don't want to go, they push you into the car. You don't want to go into the car, they should punch your head. And if you still don't want to get in, they should duct tape you to a stretcher, put you on top of their car, and drive down H1. And even though you're screaming bloody murder, you should be thanking God for four friends like that. Because there's times you're not going to be able to get to Jesus on your own, regardless. It could be a bad heart, it could be a bad attitude, it could be a bad situation, or you just fell on hard times, or you're just proud or stubborn. You need four friends that will challenge you and say, we love you too much to let you be this way. We love you just like you are, but we love you too much to let you stay like this. We're going to get you to Jesus. And that's the kind of people that the Lord says you need to be able to recognize, because if you don't, you're going to unfriend those you should friend, and you're going to friend those you should have unfriended and walked away from. Recently, like many of you, I've been watching some of the television footage of the Baltimore riots. As you might know, Freddie Gray, 25-year-old man, was injured in his spine, and because of that, passed away, died. And six policemen are being held accountable for this homicide. Now, a full investigation is going on, and we don't want to take sides too quickly because there is a full investigation going on, and it seems like these guys, they're going to face justice. But nevertheless, you want to pause, but there's a group of hooded young men and women that to disguise themselves, they put hoods on, mask their face, and they went into anarchy. I mean to tell you, they're torching buildings, they're burning stores. Like, there's no reason to do that. They didn't have anything to do with it. These store owners could be completely innocent. And then they go and steal. They just steal stuff. And then they're destroying cars of people who had nothing to do with anything. They'll find the car and they're just into this like lynch mob mentality. So they're destroying things. It's funny, just on a side note, sometimes when you're so convinced that you're so right, you're in danger of being so wrong. Because sometimes when you're so convinced that you're right, it's somehow you're deceived into taking license to damage other people and steal and loot. Did you know that over 100 police officers have been injured and two have been shot because of this? So it's sort of like, that was wrong, but this isn't. And there's a deception that takes place. Well, one of the rioters I was looking and watching, one of the rioters, in the midst of his activities, his best friend shows up to inspire his wrong thinking back to the right way. And that was his mother. I want to show you a little clip of, I think there's a scripture that says, a friend loveth at all times, but a mother is born for adversity. So let's take a look at this clip. I want you to see this superwoman here. There's 1, 2, 3-point sermon right there. And she's convincing him to think better, to be wise, to be honorable. And don't go with the wrong crowd, she said. Did you hear me? And please face me when I talk to you. Come here, I love you, I want to hug you. Hug. And so she's going to, oh yeah, I'm just reminding you again. And so she is going to follow him. Now this goes on for another minute or so. And you need to see that. I was thinking, go, you go, girl. You go. You go. Now, some of you are looking at me like, why do you play such a violent video in church? Don't give me that. You were watching a fight last night that paid millions of dollars. And you come here and go, what are you doing these for? Don't give me that. I can see it in your eyes. But you know, in an interview right after this, that guy was being asked, what'd you feel about this? You know what he said? He said, I was really embarrassed, but I needed exactly what my mom gave me. Because I was hanging out with the wrong crowd. Do you know, by the way, another crowd is now trying to indict her for child abuse. I mean, it's just stupid. So, see, because sometimes our best friends are our parents, young people. Because they're going to challenge you in a way that will inspire you to think differently. Now, it's no fun, and you'll be really embarrassed, but one day down the line, you're going to look backwards and say, I'm so glad. I'm so glad they did. I'm so glad. Listen carefully. Sometimes we as parents are so afraid of the reaction of our kids that we allow them to start to live mediocre lives and compromise. What kind of friend are you? Well, I don't say anything because I want to be their friend. No, they should unfriend you if that's the kind of friend you want to be. You need to challenge them, encourage them to think well, be a person of integrity, to be a person that deepens his or her faith with God, who disciplines his or herself from running with the wrong crowd. And even though it's challenging, you need to say, that's my friend. But sometimes parents say, well, I don't want to make them mad at me, so I kind of let them live a mediocre life and let them just settle for less and let them live beneath their potential because I don't want to have reaction from them. Is that the kind of friend you want around you? If you're saying you want to be their friend, then be a parent, because there's nothing better than being a parent who understands what friendship really is. I look at that video and I think, happy Mother's Day. I love it. I love it. So all that to say is be selective. Just because some friend of yours lives down the street doesn't mean that that person's your friend. Or unfriend somebody because they challenge you. Be careful. Otherwise, you may not recognize the very ones that God has divinely appointed for your life that God would look at you and say, you'll be all right because you recognize these four men's faith. They're God-ordained. I mean, Jesus is an example of this. You take a look at the 12 disciples. It does not say that Jesus ended up with 12. No, he chose 12. What? He chose. Did you know that is one of the most important selections of your life will be the selection of those you call friends and you choose to hang out with? And I'd suggest you start with four and just write down those characteristics, people that'll help you, people that'll speak words of counsel into your life, challenge you to be better, inspire you to rise higher, motivate you to be a better person, someone to love your family more, love your spouse more by their example. Let me tell you about a friend of mine. He and I started in ministry together when I was in my early 20s, and he's some Vanna's and my best friends. We hang out with them. They live in Oregon, and we hang out with them every chance we get to. We go to dinner. As soon as we go up there, I call them, hey, let's go to dinner and catch up. And we've been together for probably 40 years now. Well, he got married and had a couple of children. But later on, his wife developed a mental illness. And because of that, one day he came home and she had taken her own life with a pistol. To find that, not only was shocking, but it broke his heart. When I heard of that, I flew out of here on the next plane to get over there and spent a week with them as we just processed this thing and made our friendship even deeper. Well, later on, he met a beautiful lady and they got married and I did his wedding. And it's just a wonderful thing. But the interesting thing is he loves his wife now, his new wife. He loves her so much. There's pictures of them together all over his house. I mean, you know, in this position, that posture, and this smile, and this, and it's just like everywhere, every room you go into. Not only that, if that's not enough, he buys her a fully restored, showroom quality 56 Chevy. And that, if that's not enough, he hires a professional video crew to come and film her driving this thing into the sunset with her hair blowing and a music playing in the background. And if that's not enough, he actually gets this professional production to do a CD for her. And he has all of this nice music, and he's singing to her. Now, he's no Michael Bublé, but he's singing to her. And the jacket, the packaging of this CD is the best I've ever seen, even professionally done. There's pockets in there, and there's a little pamphlet in there that tells about their story as husband and wife and how they came together and got to know one another. And I look at all of these things. I mean, it is so romantic. It about makes you puke. But you know, every time I leave after having spent time with him, I want to be a better person. I want to love my wife more. Now, my wife has a sore throat today, so she's watching via streaming. So, honey, forget it. You don't get a 56 Chevy. Forget it. Get it out of your mind. Reminds me of the story. This lady gets up in the morning and she says to her husband, honey, I had a dream last night that I was wearing a 5-carat diamond ring. What do you think that means? He said, you'll find out tonight. So she says, oh, this is wonderful. Well, he goes off to work and comes back. And that night he presents her a beautifully wrapped, with a nice ribbon, this little gift in a rectangular box. She excitedly opens it up. And there's a little book with the title, The Meaning of Dreams. But I sincerely believe that God has prepared certain people to cross your path that'll add to your life. If I want to have friends around me that are men of integrity, then I need to begin to build that. If I want to have people around me that are encouraging and loves their family, then I need to do that. You know why? Because when you develop that heart, it attracts people that have that same desire in their life. And when those people get together, you're greater together. You attract those people. Let me wrap it all up into this final scripture, and it's 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9 is an interesting verse. It says this, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he might support those whose hearts are set on him or completely his. Here's what it says. For the eyes of the Lord, God is looking all over the globe for those whose hearts are just like his. He's looking for you. And he did. He found one. Oh, whoa, right here. Oh, his name is David. David, yeah. David was a man after my own heart. You see, the man in the mirror, when you're starting to develop God's heart, listen carefully. If you are developing a heart after God, you don't have to look much for God. He's looking for you. And the same thing is true when you're developing God's heart. Not only is God looking for you, but people who want that same heart are starting to look for you. And when you surround yourself with these people, God, in seeing their faith, says, you're going to be all right, because that's my principle. If you will do this, I promise you that you will never live beneath your potential. You will rise higher, you'll have a brighter future, and you yourself will become all you've ever hoped to be and got all that God has planned for you to be. That's the kind of people we want to become. And if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Amen.
You've just heard a message entitled Friends and Unfriends by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship, Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools suffer. Here's the principle. The principle is this. Whatever the characteristics are of those that you hang around with, either good or bad, will eventually seep into you.
For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope Christian Fellowship, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.